Acts chapter 8, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, now, watch out, hang with me. Turn back about two or three pages to Acts chapter 1. Now, we're going to go to 8, but we're going to start in 1. So keep your finger there, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to read five verses about the promise of power, and then we're going to be talking about the power of God that was poured out in Samaria. Amen? Mike, do me a favor, clip that, shut that door back there so that we can cut some of that noise out. And let me just, what am I going to do with this? Do this there. There we go. Are we good?
Good.
Hey, if he gets squawky, you can take him in the cry room over there. You won't be alone. All right. Okay, everybody ready? Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Bible says, let me find it. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Is it okay if Jesus gives you a command, by the way? Yeah, it's like, Lord, tell me what to do, I'll do it. Some people say, Lord, tell me what to do, I'm going to struggle. Lord, tell me what to do, I'm gonna fight that tooth and nail. Right? Kind of like your doctor saying, don't eat carne asada at 9 o'clock at night if you're 40-something. You know what? There's that thing. You know what? After carne asada burrito? Milk toast. There you go. See, like I'm going out with the youth. Hey, let's all get some milk toast, youth. That's what's coming for you, bro. Wait till you hit 50. It is not a pleasant journey. Let me back up. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. But in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so when they met together, they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know that. He said, this is not something you got to worry about. You know, sometimes we're worried about stuff we don't need to be worried about. Can I get a witness on that? He says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power. If you get your Bible open there, read that with me, would you? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are mighty, Lord. We thank you that you visit us here this morning. We thank you that your word is real, that your power is real, and that you do miraculous things in our midst. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
All right. If you got a cell phone, turn it off unless you're going to use it for your Bible. If you got something else electronic, turn that stuff off. You know why? You know, we went to the movie last night. And I'm telling you what, they tell you about 50 times before that movie comes on, turn your cell phone off, no texting, no anything like that, right? How many of you guys seen this movie? I mean, it doesn't have anything, you know, to do with the Lord or anything. It's kind of fun. We went last night. Lisa hated it. Hated it, man. She, like, had her jacket up, like, oh, oh. You know, and, I mean, it is a rather violent kind of comic book violence thing is what they're talking about. But you know, basically what you got is you got the Avengers. You got the Earth's mightiest heroes. And, you know, Samuel Jackson... don't know what he is. He's just kind of a guy with a patch. You got the Hulk on the back. You got Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man. The guy on the end, he wasn't even in the movie. Have no clue who he was. The guy with the arrow, kind of paling. The girl there, Black Widow, you know. I mean, you got all these things blowing up, and she's got like a little pistol. And Lisa goes, come on, what is up with that? But, you know, the whole thing with these superhero movies, Scott Gaudet loves the superhero movies. And he's been to all of them and just loves them, and that's his thing. And what you got is you get your superhero with superpowers, right? But to make the movie interesting, you have to have the villain with as much or greater superpowers as our superheroes, right? Otherwise, it'd just be boring, you know? I mean, if you got the Hulk just stomping, you know, be like Pastor Paul and Mike, you know, the movie be over in like 10 seconds, right? So you have the villain that wants to destroy the whole planet, who is Thor's brother, Loki. And you got, you know, the big battle and all these aliens come and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, I don't want to destroy the movie for you, but then at the very end, against all odds, You know, the superhero comes through and saves the day. I mean, I hope I didn't ruin it for you, but that's the way all those movies are. So if you haven't figured that out by now, time to grow up. Okay? Trying to figure that out. Now, some of us can identify, you know, it's like, yeah, man, I could use a hero in my life. I could use somebody to pull me out of all the drama and danger that I got going on in my life. Amen? Sometimes we even put Jesus in that role. I asked my daughter, she didn't do it for me, I was going to put a Jesus up there on the thing, you know, just kind of put him in there. And that Jesus, you know, would come into our life. You know, just by the bare thread, come in and rescue us against all odds, barely saving us. See, sometimes we like to put Jesus up there with those guys. But that's not how the story goes. Because Jesus has a name above every name. Amen. Jesus is so much more powerful than anybody else around. And so nothing else even comes close. And the person he saves us from is so often ourselves. You know, so it don't make a great movie. Right? Jesus, come and save me from me. Don't need a... Who's Iron Man? Robert Downey Jr.? Making like $50 million. Hard to make $50 million once. Save me from me, Lord. But that's what happens in the kingdom of God. That's what happens when God touches us. He saves us from us. There is supernatural power that's available from God. Amen? We read about that. Last week we looked at how 120 disciples on the day of Pentecost were baptized by the Holy Spirit and received power from God. Peter preached and 3,000 people gave their lives to the Lord. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And what? And you're going to be my witnesses. We are reading a book of Acts, about a people of power. We read last week about the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. Today we read about Samaria. Next week we're going to talk about Cornelius' house. And there is a pattern that happens in the book of Acts where regular people are empowered by God. Amen? I'm going to take a look at that. Jimmy, do me a favor. Turn that exhaust fan off. I'm smelling something great cooking. We do have a lunch afterward. And so, you guys smell that? Smells like something good. If you guys stick around afterward, we will feed you. Title of today's message is A People of Power. Are we okay? I know some of you are going, wow, that smells like onion soup to me, but I don't know what it is. All right, so now we jump up to Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. This is where we're going to spend our time today, kind of looking at how God's power was poured out on the disciple Philip. All right? Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Now, he went to Samaria because there was a great persecution coming across the church. And Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes the Apostle Paul and is empowered by the Holy Spirit himself, is bringing attack, and everybody except for the original apostles flees Jerusalem. And as they flee Jerusalem, the message of the gospel is spread with them. It's almost like God had it planned out. Amen? Amen. Amen. As he went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. And when crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks and evil spirits came out of many people, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy. What was there in that city? Great joy, right? And I'll tell you what, we see people being delivered from from being cripples and paralytics and demons captivating them. There's joy, amen? Yes. Think we can find some joy in this city? We see that Holy Spirit poured out here, yes. Amen? So that's what we're going to see in the, how do you say your name again? Huelda. This whole, Huelda? Buelna. Buelna. The Buelna section poured out by the Holy Spirit. God's power is on purpose, folks. God's power is for a purpose. People take notice. I'll tell you what. Philip strolled into Samaria and started preaching the gospel of Jesus, amen? And all of a sudden, or in a conjunction with, he began to cast out demons. God was putting on a show. Amen? Because they didn't just come out just going, okay, we'll leave. Shrieks and screaming, all kinds of action going on. I mean, you saw, how many of you saw The Exorcist? I know, it was a long time ago. You want to get freaked out if you've never seen it? Rent it, you know. Scare the death out of you, man. I mean, I'll tell you, churches were filled. The churches were not aware of what was going to happen when they saw this little girl possessed by the devil. Because the devil is real, amen? And he hates you. He wants to kill you. He wants to kill your family. He wants to destroy your relationships. He wants to do all this kind of stuff. Philip rolls into Samaria, and he begins to take on the plans of the enemy, and he begins to heal people that have never been healed. He begins to spiritually heal them, physically heal them, and see the power of God manifest in him and through him into their lives, and people take notice. And in the same way that the Avengers, it's like, wow, look how huge that is. Can you imagine living in Samaria and see Philip rolling into town and say, be clean. Rah! Whoa. See him come up to Larry. See, bam. Yep. Amen. Whoa, go get Uncle Fred. This guy's a healer. This guy's got the power of God. And because he had the power of God, people listened to his message. There's a tie there. I'll give you my power and you're going to proclaim my message. You want to see a transformation in your life? Proclaim my message. I'll give you power. It's a combo deal. You can trade up in your life. Amen? Some of you are thinking, whoa, that's what we're talking about, being touched by God. The crowds heard Philip. They paid attention to what he was saying. God put it on a show. I don't know how many of you looked as good as you look right now when you came to the Lord. I did not look this good. I had more hair, but I did not look this good. I was crippled in my body. I was crippled in my mind. And I was crippled in my soul. And I came to the Lord and I said, Lord, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. And he took it just like that. And I have been being healed and transformed ever since then. Amen. You can have that. That is available for you today. I met Jesus and Jesus set me free. I had great joy. Samaritans met Jesus. He set them free. There was great joy. God made a change in them. God made a change in me. And God can make a change in you today. And it is God's love. It is God's love that makes an opportunity for change in you. Because I tell you what, I was nothing attractive. I was just a heap of badness. And the Lord took me in and changed me. Amen. Because of his love. Amen? All right. People recognize power. Amen? Somebody strolls in there, man. You go, whoa, what is up with that? That's what was happening in Samaria. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery. Simon the sorcerer. In fact, he's a famous dude. Famous dude. Simon had practiced sorcery. He was back, famous back in Samaria. He's still famous because of the Bible. He set, practiced sorcery in that city and amazed the people. He was amazing. He boasted that he was somebody great. Check me out. Look what I can do. All the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is the divine power known as the great power. Don't mess with Simon. Simon is hooked up. Simon is the real deal. And you know, Simon was the real deal. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. And I'll tell you what, Simon wasn't faking him out. Simon was hooked. We talk about the power of God being poured out on people's lives and being touched by God. And I hope as you come in here today that you're thinking, you know what? I want to be touched by God. I want to be empowered by God. I want to be transformed by God. I want to make an exchange in my life. I want to trade up in my life. There are alternative powers on this planet. Simon was tied in with them. The devil will empower people. He's demon possession. You see people do crazy stuff. You see sorcery where people are in league with the devil doing black magic and those things. And it's real stuff. I mean, you go down to Haiti, you go down to Louisiana and the voodoo and all that stuff. It's real stuff, folks. Now, Bible tells us, I don't want you freaking out. Bible tells us greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. Amen. Right. That if you have the Lord, Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Amen. So you do not have to worry about the voodoo guys. You do have to have your hat on straight, shall we say. If you're walking into that, you got to know what you're doing, all that kind of stuff. Simon was one of those guys. Simon was a guy who was hooked up with the devil, and he was doing real stuff. And he amazed the people who were not hooked up with the devil, and they followed him. They said, this guy is hooked up. And he was eating it up. Hey, yeah, look at me. I am somebody great. You better call me the great power. You better understand what is going on. It's real stuff. The reason I wanted this mic hooked up, come on up, Timothy. Yes, yes. You got me up there?
Yes.
Timothy has, look out, has, let's go like this. That way they can be too. Nice.
Weluna.
Welna.
Welna.
There you go. Timothy was way, 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 way far from the Lord. For 20 years, and dabbled in the dark spiritual realm. And so I asked him to just kind of share some of modern day reality stuff. So take a couple minutes, Timothy.
You guys have known me a couple years, and I doubt any of you have ever heard me talk about this, because only now, by God's unmerited grace and his banner over me is love, that I can talk about this stuff. But after college, I got into paganism and then kind of got into witchcraft, and then I even went further, and I actually followed Anthony LaVey, who wrote the Satanic Bible, all over the country, actually followed his teachings and his seminars and workshops. And what I wanted to share is that I used to be all involved with that, and I actually was expelled from two Christian colleges for practicing witchcraft. And about 15 years later, I was in my parents' church, and you know, I was raised in the church, and this girl came up to me and she said, Timothy, I want you to tell you I forgive you. And I didn't recognize her. I was like, oh, Deborah, you forgive me? And she said, yeah, you know, after you summoned that demon into me, I became an alcoholic, I lost my marriage, I got into drugs, I even tried to kill myself, but I forgive you. I forgive you for summoning that demon into me. And I was like, blown away. It just blew me away. I was like, I realized what I was doing, but I didn't realize the lasting, rippling effects that it can have. And one thing I want to talk to you guys now, it's like every day it's just imperative that I get up and I start my day with God. Friday, something happened and I was just rushed and I didn't do my devotions. Saturday, something was rushed, I didn't do my devotions. So now this was 2 days I didn't do my devotions. Yesterday, I was driving with a friend. And
Hold on. Devotions are, yeah, hold this.
Devotions.
No, hold this up higher on the mic.
Devotions. Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go. Devotions, he means he gets up in the morning and he reads the Bible and he prays.
Yeah.
I was a Christian for years ago. What are devotions?
I have three books that I read. So I get into the Word of God. I pray. You guys have seen my prayer stairs. So Friday and Saturday, I didn't do my devotions. Yesterday, I'm driving with a friend. And I just felt like a spirit over me, and I started arguing. I said, stop the car. I used a word that Lisa Metz, that would not pass the Lisa Metz test at all. She would do backflips. And I've not cursed in probably over a year. And I got out of the car, and like I just broke down in tears. And I said, I have not done my devotions, and I've not gotten into the Word of God in 2 days. I actually even felt like doing drugs, and I've been clean for a year and a half. Like that whole spirit just came over me, and I broke down, and I cried, and I said, I've not gotten into the Word in 2 days. So it's imperative for all of us. But even for me, I think, when you've lived kind of in that world, it's like Satan is there with footholds all around you. So it's even more important for all of us, but even for me, every day, I have to get into the Word the first thing I wake up, and I have to get on my knees because Satan is there. But Satan's strength is in his lie. That's it, in his lie. And once you expose a lie, you walk in truth. And that's what I've been doing ever since.
Amen. Now, amen. You saw stuff, real stuff, sorcery stuff.
Yes.
So when you see, you saw the kind of stuff that Simon was doing.
Yes.
For 10 years, and he followed this guy. What's the guy's name?
Anthony LaVey.
Anthony LaVey, who wrote the Satanic Bible. And so you were like a...
I've done workshops with him. I talk with him one-on-one, just like you.
Yeah. Scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, you can sit in it. Thanks, bro. All right, you can mute that now, bro. All right. The devil's real, folks. There are those people out there that tie into that power. And it advances their lives. Now, that's what happened in Samaria, and there was destruction all over the place. That's why they were so ready to be transformed by the truth and the message of Christ. I think this area, there's destruction all over the place. They are ready for the message of truth. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get back on track here. Point number two. But when they believed Philip, this is now, we're talking about the Samaritans again. They heard the message of Christ, the message of Jesus, the message of the Messiah, and they believed it. They believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and of the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed. Timothy believed. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. Truth will make a change. Amen? You come to the Lord, you open your mind to his message and his miracles, and you can be transformed in your very existence. Samaria recognized that there was a greater power that was within Philip, that was in Simon. Amen? See, Jesus has been given the name above every name. He has been seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? And every authority has been placed under his feet. Amen? And so as he comes in and as his workers come in, his power comes in at a higher level. And so the people of Samaria were going, Simon, Philip. Whoa, we're going to follow Philip. Why? Because the power of God trumps, the power of God whoops on the power of the devil.
That's right.
And they saw that and they were transformed. They believed. They yielded their hearts and said, Lord, we're going to repent. We're going to turn away from all this stuff having to do with Simon and all the crud that he's been teaching us and dealing with us. And we're going to turn away from that and we're going to receive your son as our Savior. That's what it means to be saved. Amen? I hope that you have done that. Then they did that, and then it says that they were baptized. There is a sequence. There was 3,000 that received the message of Peter on the day of Pentecost. The church was born, and they were baptized in water. Right up here, we baptized Juan, the spearhead of the Buelna clan, right up there, baptized in water. There is a sequence that Christians go through. You believe, and you get baptized in water. It happened in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. It happened in Samaria. And there was great joy in the city. People's lives are being transformed. They found a greater power. The Bible calls Satan the prince of this world. So you can make a choice. You can follow the prince of this world, or you can follow the King of Kings. So you can make a trade today. You can trade up. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Point number two, or 2B. Verse 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard, message went out. Hey, there's something good going on up in Samaria. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply, some translations have only, they had only been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And there is an opportunity for more. Wherever you are at with the Lord today, there is an opportunity for more. You can trade up. You can always trade up. There's always more in the Lord. Amen? Have you ever found that, I can't grow anymore in the Lord? No, there's always something more. Now, Peter and John and the apostles hear about the great work that is being done in Samaria. Change is happening. Salvation happened. Baptism happened. Hallelujah! Good things are going on. But the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. So word comes to Jerusalem, and how does the word come? Oh, they're getting saved, but the Holy Spirit has not been poured out. So they said, oh, we're heading down there. Why? Promise. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, there are those who would say that was a one-time shot. Oh, God doesn't do that anymore. Oh, he's done. See, he poured out his power on the apostles. And realistically, it was more than the apostles because it was 120 in the upper room, right? And they say, oh, no, it was a one-time shot. But I guess not, because the apostles were hearing about the Samaritans saying, oh, they got to get the Holy Ghost. They are going, how can, you know, the church was born on the day of Pentecost. It is spreading to Samaria. How can you be the church and not have the power of God? And I think that's a problem with the church today. Too many churches doing church with no power. Got no testimonies about Gene being healed and people being transformed. You know what? And we got fancy lights and all kinds of stuff. You know, we can kind of do it on our own. There are people doing it on their own. We don't need the power of God. Problem with the church today. Maybe you're thinking, 940. Wow, man, I don't need that. Some of you are thinking, 940? What's 940? I don't know, how long have you been, 2 months now? You've been doing pre-service prayer? 940, in that room, right there, prayer, every Sunday. I would hope every one of you would be saying, I need that. You know what? I need that. Come in here today, fourth monitor is not working, I'm going to pray, I'm going to go through my notes, and I'm spending 30 minutes trying to get the sound system hooked up. I need your prayer. I need your prayer as a covering, and the worship team and Mike and everybody, all the teachers downstairs, everybody, we need prayer. Yes. We need the power of God. And so the church in Jerusalem says, oh, we got a problem in Samaria. Got no power. Got good things going on. People getting saved, message going out, lives being transformed. And Peter and John come, and they lay their hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. They receive power. And as we take a look at the book of Acts, as the church moves, so moves the Spirit. And when Paul goes to Ephesus, and he finds some believers there, and they're having like this little Bible study, and it's like the first thing he asks them, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, we didn't even know there's a Holy Spirit. Oh, you got to get the Holy Ghost. You got to get the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you need the power. You can't be a witness. It's too hard. The attack is too great. The enemy wants to destroy you too much. You need the power. Amen? I'll tell you about Nick Nemo. Kind of an odd sounding name for an odd guy. One of my little brother's friends. And he kind of talked like this. And he was a little slow, and he was a little odd kind of a guy, right? I mean, he wasn't a little dude. He was a big dude. But my brother and his friends, they were nice to him, just kind of to be nice. You know, his mom would tell my mom, wow, your son just totally transforms my son's life by being nice to him and let him hang on. You kind of be part of his group. Joe was a trendy guy, kind of like me. Actually, Tom was trendier than me. But we won't go into that. He's got more hair too now. He's been using Rogaine and stuff. But anyway, so we lived in Fresno. And if you listen to this, Tom, whatever your name is, yeah, enjoy that laugh. Yeah, you can tape it. Play it for mom. Anyway, they're going up to Millerton Lake, which is about 15 miles outside of Fresno. And, you know, it's like where you go, it's hot. It's hot in Fresno. So you go to the river, you go to the lake, you go to wherever. So they're all going up to the lake. And Nick Nemo borrows his brother's Volkswagen Bug. And it was bright yellow like this, you know. And they're kind of thinking, hey, we're going to leave Nick behind on this trip, right? But there's Nick. If you ever, I had a Volkswagen Bug. How many of you guys had a Bug? Really? Really? I had a 61. No, 65. 1100cc. Barely go 54. And but man, I think, whining. And so they were all heading up to Millerton, and there's the yellow Bug way back there. Here comes Nick. And he's coming up there, and they all, they're up there, and they're doing their lake thing for several hours, and everybody's going to head home. And Nick goes up to my brother Tom, and he says, Tom, can you help me drive back? My brother's car's not acting real good. He's like, okay, Nick, you know. And so Tom hops in the Bug, you know, and he's like, you know, and he jumps in and goes, and Nick goes, what'd you just do? The second gear, man. What? What did you do? He goes, second gear, Nick. And he's running the whole way up to Millerton in first gear. Blowing up his brother's car, you know? And so Tom gets in there. And Nick is amazed. Why do I tell you that? Because there's a second gear to your Christianity, folks. There is a third gear to your Christianity. Some of us are doing all we can, whining it out, going 15 miles an hour in first gear. And that's why they went up to Jerusalem. They said, man, or to Samaria, we got to get these guys into second gear. You can make a trade. You can make a change. You can trade up in your life. Amen? All right, last thing we're going to take a look at. With these opportunities for change, with these opportunities for advancement, there are challenges that are going to come at you. And this challenge, this opportunity, hit Simon right in the face. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given out at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. Now, let me tell you, if you are hooked up with the Lord, the creator of the universe, you don't need money from the enemy. God owns everything. Amen? You got the source of everything. So being plied with money is like, hey, man, God's got all I need. Shouldn't be effective. Ah, so a little sidetrack there. Give you that no extra charge. He offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everybody on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And even in the church, and even with all the good stuff going on, there are some that choose poorly. Simon chose poorly. Now, how did he choose? Simon saw something, right? They are, casting out demons, shrieks, and all that kind of stuff were going on. The power of God is manifested in a physical way, right? It's like, oh, God, touch my soul. Really? Kind of hyper-spiritual for me, you know? God was doing powerful work that was manifested in a physical way. Gene's pain went away in a physical way. Amen? The attack on Timothy was spiritual in nature, but would have been affected in a physical way as he was attacking people around him. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the Samaritans, and Simon saw it happen. He said, whoa, I want that. Right? What were they doing? We don't know. But it was something that Simon saw, and it was something that Simon wanted. Simon says, give me that power that whoever I lay my hands on, I might be able to baptize them in the Holy Spirit as well. And you know what? Simon wanted more. That's okay. Can I get a witness on that, please? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I got a verse here. I don't have it there for you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Paul tells us that we should desire the greater gifts. Amen? And that we should have a desire for more. And because the Bible tells us that we should desire greater spiritual gifts, God puts within us a desire for more. So if you sit here, I hope you sit here today and go, whoa, this power stuff, sign me up. How many of you, if God has power for you, That you would be a witness for him, that we could fill these chairs up, that we could have the whole, what's your last name again?
Buelna.
We could have the Buelna clan, you know. Say, yeah, I'll take that power because I want to have a whole section for my family. And you want to say, yeah, if that power is available, I want to have that power. Anybody want that power? I'm serious. Put your hand up. Hallelujah. That's good. He says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Simon wanted that which God has put in his heart to want. That was good. He had some problems with his methodology. Let's take a look at that. Peter answered, may your money perish with you. I don't need your stinking money. Probably wouldn't put stinking in the Bible. May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry. You lost what you thought you had. Challenges come with opportunity. Amen? You lost what you thought you had. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. And perhaps, say perhaps, would you?
Perhaps.
And perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. There are limits on our progress, folks. They are self-imposed. Simon had a limit on his progress. And the Simon's problem was with his thinking. You thought you could buy this gift with money. This is more than a misunderstanding of the kingdom of God. This thought reveals what was going on in Simon's heart. You got a problem with your heart. And Peter could see into Simon's heart by his actions. In fact, there are many ways to see what is going on in your heart. Jesus says it is the words that come out of your mouth that display the filthiness that is in your heart. Timothy said, man, I cursed yesterday. I had this thing going on. I haven't cursed in a year. That word revealed the tension and the turmoil that was going on in his heart. Amen? He says, you got no part of this. He says, repent, and maybe God will forgive you. Really? Why maybe? I thought forgiveness was guaranteed. Right? Right? Check it out. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. Faithful means you can what? You can bank on Jesus. Amen? Hey, if I'm confessing, he's forgiven. Hallelujah? He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Where does perhaps come into this? Where does maybe come into this? And maybe comes in. I think Peter's saying, I don't know where your heart is, bro. See, there's some people's conversions that are less than genuine. And it would appear because Simon is filled with bitterness and a captive to sin. Ezekiel says, I'm going to give you a new heart. It doesn't look like Simon had a new one yet. And that's why there's the limit. Because your confession has to be genuine. Your confession is genuine. His forgiveness is what? Faithful. Maybe you're here today. You're going, man, I need a superhero. Maybe someone will take this away. Well, Jesus tells us about the kingdom of God. You can come up in just a minute, Lisa. See, Simon wanted to use God's power for his own gain, for his own plan. Jesus says, that's not how my program works. Jesus says, I'll make you a trade. I'm talking about you can make a change, you can trade up, right? And so often, our lives look like that. Kind of junky and crummy. You know, I got that picture off the internet this morning. That ain't even a real car. That's a toy. It's a junky looking crummy toy with a lousy paint job. with no lights or opaque lights or painted over lights. I don't know what those lights are. And Jesus says, I'll make you a trade. Right? He says, I'll make you a trade. You can trade up in your life. But you got to give me your life. And there's so many people that say, oh, yeah, I'll take that trade. Junky old toy of a life for a nice, shiny, non-blown up Nick Nemo's Volkswagen Bug. I'll make that trade. Simon said, I'll make that trade. But what happens in some of our lives, we say, I'll take that trade, but I'm going to give up my old car. And we kind of keep the old one in our pocket. And that's what Simon did. See, Simon started rolling back to the old moves. And he was saying, ho, I can get my action back. I can be the great power again. I can be the mighty power. Let me hook you up, and you hook me up, and you guys leave, and I'll be back in control. See, Jesus says, I'll make you a trade, but you got to give me all your old life, and I'll give you a brand new life. Maybe that's a trade you need to make today. Lisa, you want to come up? Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, oh, I feel like Timothy did yesterday every day. Maybe you just like that little messed up car, toy, junky life. And right now Jesus is saying, and Jesus has told you this before. He says, I'll make you that trade. And you've been trying to hold back both ends of the bargain and kind of control the situation and say, I'll take God, but I'm going to keep my old stuff. He says, I don't roll that way. It's got to be a trade. You trade up. We make an exchange. Is that what you need to do today? You're rolling in here today and you've been playing games with God. See, Simon was playing games with God. That's why he said, perhaps he's going to forgive you because, man, you're trying to get over on God. You can't get over on God. It ain't never going to work. But if you're real with God, he'll hook you up. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are mighty and awesome. Lord, and there are people that struggle, Lord, with your plan for salvation. Lord, with the program that you have set up, the exchange. Trade in the old and find the new. Trading up in our lives. And maybe you come in here this morning and it has been made clear that you are trying to hold on to both ends of the bargain. Maybe this bargain is brand new to you. You said, I want that deal. Maybe you've been trying to hold both ends and be like a Simon. You realize today's the day to let go of the old and move on into the new. And nobody's looking around this morning, but the Holy Spirit is here saying, this is what is wrong with you. This is the reason that you experience the challenges that you experience in your life. Because you have not let hold of the old. Time to trade up. Nobody looking around this morning. But God's speaking to you. You're saying, Lord, I feel so dumb. I've wasted so much time. And today I want to make a change. And God's speaking to you and you're just saying, Lord, here I am. Sign me up for your deal. God's speaking to your heart. I'm not speaking to you. God's speaking to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. I gotta let go of the old. Right here. Somebody else would say, that's me. Somebody else. Anybody else would say, right over here. Right there. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Right there. Hallelujah. Somebody else would say, I'm done playing. I'm done messing with God. I'm gonna be real for God. You put your hand up, you can put it down. I got that one there. Anybody else? Say, that's me. I want to make a trade. Lord Jesus, for each person here, Lord, I thank you that your offer of a trade is extended yet this morning, Lord. That from 2,000 years ago through today, Lord, that your offer of exchange is still real and it's still good. And for these, Lord, that have raised their hand and have said, that is me, Lord, I want to be transformed. I want to find newness in my life. I pray, Lord, that you come and meet them here this morning, that you put your arms around them, Lord, that you help them let go of that old life, Lord, that you show them that new life, Lord, and that they would find joy, Lord, your joy that would overcome the challenges in their life And I ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? One last little thing and we'll go. Well, actually, one last little thing and we'll sing. Maybe you're here. And you're saying, if that power is real, I want it. If I can have the power of God, I am tired of living on less. Now, that power is available for one reason, to be a witness. Some people say, you know what? I don't want it that bad. I don't really care about being a witness for the Lord, and I can live on less. You can go to heaven that way. I think it'll be a struggle, personally. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, I am a witness. I'm already doing this, but I'm doing it unarmed. I need your power. God, you see all the stuff I'm doing for you? I want to do more. And you say, Lord, if this stuff is real, Lord, I want it. I want to be your servant. I need it. I understand why I've been less than effective in my life because I've not had your power. And maybe you're here today. So you're already doing it, and you're already doing being a witness, and you want the power of God. Perhaps the Lord is saying you need to be my witness. Perhaps you're saying, okay, I want to be like Philip. Now I want to be transformed in my life. I want to put a focus on you, Lord. And when I put a focus on you, Lord, I want to avail myself of your power. Maybe that's you. If that's you today, we're going to sing this song, More Love and More Power, and more of you in my life. I just want you to stand up and make this a prayer and say, Lord, here I am, your servant. Lord, here I am, Lord. I want to be used by you in City Heights in an incredibly powerful and impacting way. I want to see lives transformed. Lord, I want to see demons cast out. Lord, I want to see cripples healed. Lord, I want to be part of your kingdom plan. And if that's you this morning, we're going to sing this song. I just want you to just stand up and put your hands up and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Empower me, equip me to make a change. Hallelujah.